Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. I hope that you all had an amazing summer full of fun, adventure, and wonder. We are so excited to have you join us for our fourth season of Constant Wonder Kids. This show is all about discovering awe and wonder in the natural world with the help of fascinating experts and amazing storytellers. We have a lot of adventures in store for you. It's going to be a blast. Have you ever gotten lost before and ended up somewhere unexpected? Maybe your parents were driving you in their car and they took a wrong turn. Or maybe you were walking around a park and ended up in an area you'd never been in before. Finding yourself in unexpected places can sometimes be an unpleasant surprise, but often it's the beginning of an exciting adventure. It can also happen to animals, not just humans. In today's episode, we're going to hear two different stories about animals who ended up in unexpected places. One story is about a herd of reindeer, and the other is about the oldest turtle in the world. Now, you might think that reindeer and turtles don't have much in common, and I would normally agree with you. But these two stories are linked by the vet who cared for these animals in need.
It was quite extraordinary because these reindeer were on the edge of extinction, really. They shouldn't have been there at all anyway, but we were trying to catch them up so we could move them 100 miles to a much better site. And I'd been there for several days trying to befriend the reindeer.
This is Joe Hollins. He's a veterinarian who's traveled all over the world to care for animals. Specifically, he was on an island called South Georgia, which isn't that far from the South Pole.
If you look at the Shield of South Georgia, which is quite a large island near the Falklands, you'll see it's got a reindeer on it. And, you know, any zoologist would say, well, that's got to be wrong.
Zoologists know that reindeer don't live near the South Pole. They live near the North Pole. So why are there reindeer on South Georgia?
That was because of a guy called Carl Larson. He was on an expedition fossil hunting and everything in the Antarctic. And he saw it as the place to establish the whaling industry, a beautiful island. Now he's Norwegian and he's got his men down there and I guess they're a little bit bored. He brought reindeer down from Norway and established them in South Georgia.
So over 100 years ago, some guy named Carl brought a lot of reindeer with him when he left Norway and traveled down by the South Pole. Now, that might seem all fine and dandy, but the reindeer population really took off.
The reindeer became a problem because of the very few reindeer he took down there, three males and I think it was five or six females, only one stag survived. But believe it or not, they bred up to 7,000. 7,000 reindeer inevitably ravishing the landscape and damaging the breeding grounds for the penguins and seabirds and the seals.
The reindeer were destroying the environment around them and also starving because they had eaten most of the food available to them. Because the reindeer weren't doing well and also harming other endangered species, officials decided to get rid of most of the reindeer who were living on South Georgia. But not all of them. That's why Joe entered the scene. It was his job to rescue and move a small group of 13 invasive reindeer to keep some of these unique South Pole reindeer alive.
They had tried to catch the reindeer the year before. They used motorbikes and they had a ship standing offshore. Motorbikes with reindeer. They forgot reindeer can swim. Motorbikes can't swim. The reindeer jumped in the sea and then everybody on the motorbikes went, "Oh, now what?" They abandoned the effort, which is why I went solo with a tent and with a lot of food and just lived with them to what we'd call habituate them to my presence.
To help the reindeer, Joe needed them to be comfortable around him. And so he began to win the reindeer over with food.
They're reindeer. They specialize in moss. That's their real candy. They have a special enzyme in their gut to digest moss. The only animal. I didn't have any moss. So I took a whole load of different feeds, cattle nuts or pellets. I tried a hay. It was useless. But I tried on a whim, and I didn't think it would work, molasses sugar beet, which I thought would be useless, but it wasn't. It was nectar to them, absolute nectar.
Once the reindeer realized that Joe had food, especially the delicious sugar beet soaked in sweet syrup, it didn't take them very long to warm up to him.
I got up one morning out of my tent, unzipped the tent. There I was on the neck of the peninsula, lovely sea, air, sort of nice briny atmosphere. All 13 reindeer were sitting down, lying down around my tent, chewing the cud. I could not believe it. So up until then, I was seen as a potential threat or possibly a predator, but they befriended me because I was the candy man. I was bringing food.
Those sugar beets worked super well.
I had a bucket of it. It had been soaking overnight, so I reached into the tent and grabbed it very gently. I didn't want to spook them. It was literally my Pied Piper moment. I walked into the enclosure we'd made out of cattle hurdles, these great big gates, and they followed me because they knew I had this bucket of food, good sense of smell. And then I distributed it over the ground, and they all came in and started eating it. And then I didn't know what to do because our trap wasn't finished. It had a big hole in it.
This big hole would make the perfect escape route if the reindeer noticed it. Joe had to sneakily back his truck up near the hole and use all of his materials to make a barricade and block it off. Luckily, the reindeer were so distracted by the delicious food that they didn't notice any of Joe's sneaking around. Once he was done, Joe was able to pack the reindeer up and move them to a different area on the island where they could be safe and comfortable.
It had lots of permanent water, beautiful rising ridges and cliffs, all the rocky outcrops, masses of lichen and moss, the food they love. So they thrived there. We had four babies almost immediately, and so the numbers went up, and now they're well over 80.
The reindeer had a happy ending thanks to Joe, even though they lived in an unexpected place. As a vet, Joe has also spent time living on a different interesting island called St. Helena, located in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. St. Helena is one of the most remote places you can live in the entire world. When Joe lived there, it took 7 days to reach the island by ship. However, this faraway island was home to a very famous resident, Jonathan the Giant Tortoise.
He's a Seychelles giant tortoise. He's a gentleman of a tortoise. He's a lovely beast. Weighs about 180, 200 kilograms. That's 400 pounds to 440 pounds. And he is the oldest known living land animal in the world. So at the moment, we say he's 193.
193 years old? That's one old turtle. And Joe says that 193 is the youngest that Jonathan could possibly be. He might be much older.
We can't be sure, and he could be over 200. We've taken really the fair minimum that he could be. And that's because we know, fortunately, that he was landed in 1882 fully grown. So Jonathan, when he was landed, could have been 60 or 70, we don't know, but we've taken it as 50.
50 is the age when tortoises are fully grown. So Jonathan the giant tortoise has been living on St. Helena since 1882. That's a long time. But how did he end up there? Giant tortoises don't normally live on St. Helena naturally.
Quite a lot of giant tortoises were gifted as diplomatic gifts around the world for one very good reason, that they were delicious. They were easily herded and collected and stacked on board boats, and they provided a never-ending source of fresh meat. So it's horrible to contemplate, but they were basically stacked in the holds and eaten. And I think, obviously, they were novel, and it would make a very good diplomatic gift.
Thankfully, Jonathan wasn't eaten, and instead was given as a present to the governor of St. Helena. For about 150 years, he's been living happily on the island. However, when Joe was called in to care for Jonathan as a veterinarian, the giant tortoise wasn't doing very well.
When I arrived, he had reached a period of decline, a vicious circle. So the reason giant tortoises usually really die is something catastrophic. They fall on their backs, or possibly the heart wears out, or they get bladder stones, or they go blind and can't graze anymore. He'd gone blind, and I observed him eating earth. He's lost his sense of smell too. That's important. They have a good sense of smell, but he can't smell a peach if you put it in front of his nose. So he'd gone blind, lost his sense of smell, wasn't eating properly. I'd observed him eating dry leaves, soil, twigs, just grabbing at whatever he could because he couldn't see it. And because of that, he'd become very thin and malnourished.
Joe was worried about Jonathan and knew that he needed to get this poor blind turtle more food to eat.
So we started hand feeding him once a week to boost his calories. What he was suffering from was also a deficiency in those vital drivers of our metabolism, vitamins, minerals, and trace elements. Wow, he rejuvenated. He put on weight, he became more active. He started striding around the paddock. It was a miracle, it was a miracle. I mean, it surprised me more than anybody, I think.
Soon, Jonathan was back to walking around and enjoying life on St. Helena. However, he still made Joe nervous every once in a while.
I got that dreaded phone call from somebody who was a little bit gleeful about it, to be honest. I think they thought they were involved in a great event, you know, the death of Jonathan. And they had been jogging through the Tortoise Corridor. And they phoned me up at work and said, Jonathan's dead. That he was stretched out on the lawn. And you can't really imagine a tortoise stretching out. I was scratching my head over this. But he was right that he was stretched out. I rushed down there with my colleague, and there he was, stretched out on the lawn, eyes closed and everything. And the one thing I did think was, surely they die with their eyes open, you know? It's only in movies that the eyes are closed. So he was stretched out and he had a very long neck. They have long necks so they can reach up and graze, pull off leaves from scrub, and very long snake-like leg. All his legs splayed out like the collapsed pillars of a Greek temple. He looked dead. But as soon as I touched him, he bolted back into life. Thank goodness. And then I discovered he was sunbathing. They are, of course, poikilotherms. They're cold-blooded. And I now know that they expose as much skin as possible to the sun after a chilly night. It had been a chilly night to warm their blood. And that's what he'd been doing. So that was a scare. And funny enough, I got a phone call, oh, I don't know, a year or two later saying the same thing. And I thought, no, he's not dead. But I went down anyway. He was fine.
Jonathan was able to live on for many more years, sunbathing and enjoying life on St. Helena. All thanks to Joe and his dedicated care. Caring for animals on remote islands where they're not technically supposed to be can be a bit of a challenge, but Joe is dedicated to making sure these animals are given the care that they require.
It's my job to look after them no matter what or how they got there. Why they're there is always down to humankind, us. We're the species that's interfered. And so if they are mislocated in the wrong place, and if you can't take them back, they have to be cared for, but in the best way possible.
Helping these remarkable creatures allows Joe to experience the wonder of the animal world. And I'm glad that he's finding a way for these creatures to thrive in their environments. Thanks to Joe, we have healthy reindeer near the South Pole and a happy turtle who's nearly 200 years old. That's pretty wonderful to me.
A quick word for you parents, I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Joe Hollins and his work with animals in remote locations. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. It's called Vet at the Edge of the Earth. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.